Hallelujah. If you have the Bibles, which I believe you should be with, turn with me quickly to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Yesterday, we paid attention to the importance of local church. Are we together? And we saw that the local church is God's wisdom for the believers. Remember that teaching, right? We were able to distinguish between the universal church, is that true? And the what? The local church. So there's the universal church, which is what you call the body of Christ, right? And there's a local church, which is what you will call the gathering of the saints within a locality. Are we here? And we said it is God's will that every believer becomes or is a member of a local assembly. Now, we explained yesterday that online is just something that can be permitted or can be used to share God's word. But we can't meet online for all our Christian faith. Are we together? So the purpose of the church is not about how to get money, but the purpose of the church is about what to do and how to behave if you get money. Are we together? Not when. Because when automatically assumes that there is a surety of wealth for every believer. And everything around us disproves that. When you find yourself in a local assembly, see, one of the things you should pay attention to anywhere in the world you find yourself is what is said about money. How is money treated? So now, we've come to a generation now, because technology seems to be a means to communicate God's word, a lot of people now believe that the God's will for this period is technology. That's why you hear believers say, no, what church are you in? Are you a member of? You know, I just tune in by 8 o'clock. And I tune in to this so and so church. And when they are done, I tune in. So church. Then in the evening, I tune in. You know, I tune in. You know, some of us that even attend church online, we attend more churches than people who go to places physically. See, you, how many churches? You just go to one. You get there by 9, by 11 o'clock. We are in different services. We are in different, you see, God inhabits the praise of his people wherever they are. So I can serve God in my room, you know, and just put my earpiece and hear God's word. They are chasing you, no. When you start hearing somebody say, technology has come to replace, technology is the new church. Everybody just, you know, don't need gathering, no need coming, don't just come. No. See, that was in the Old Testament. You know, but now, God is everywhere. Look at Hebrews 10, where we ended yesterday. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Are you there? Look at Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to what? Provoke unto love and to good works. What do you say in verse 25? 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read verse 25. 1, 2, 3, go. Not forsaking the bread. What did he say? He said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking. Now, we said the word there, forsake there, or forsaking, is a word that means to abandon, to leave behind, or to put aside. The Bible tells you, do not forsake the assembling. Now, the word the assembling, I said it yesterday, is a word that means the coming together of people in a place. Are we here? The word they're assembling is a word that means the coming together of people in a place, at a location. Are we together? So we said that there is the universal church and there is a local church. A local church is that place where people of the same spirit you've received come together from time to time to what? Fellowship. What is the goal? He says, to provoke unto love. That is, we come together to provoke ourselves towards a kind of lifestyle. Are we together? We come together to provoke ourselves towards a kind of lifestyle. So it means the purpose of the church is for us to gather physically so that we can provoke ourselves unto love, unto good works. We said it that spiritual growth is something that is to be done with a foundation of a gathering. What does the gathering do? The gathering fuels in you a desire to have a personal study life. The gathering fuels in you a desire to obey God's word. The gathering fuels in you a desire to pray, both with the saints and alone. The gathering fuels in you a desire to do God's word. The gathering fuels in you a corrective environment. A corrective environment. Dear saints, correction makes you stronger. Correction is not made to belittle you. So he says, not forsaking the coming together. So if we're going to write God's Palace translation of Hebrews 10:25, he says, not forsaking the assembling, that is, not forsaking the coming together of people. Let me say it this way. Not forsaking the coming together of believers in a place. You see that? As the manner of some is. What does that mean? It means that there are some people in the real sense that decide to begin to teach the fallacy of not gathering together. So people think that the church can be replaced with an online. See, what is the church? The church is a people or a gathering of people called out from a place into another place. So there's such a thing as getting a local church around you and be devoted there and be committed there. Are we together? You know, and you see some people drift towards the line of, you know, you see, Christianity is not a religion. Have you heard that doctrine before? That Christianity is not a religion. What exactly are you saying? You see, it's not a religion, it's a way of life. Wait, what is religion? No, who can define? Someone should check Google. That's where we use technology. Now check Google. What? Just after religion, what does religion mean? Someone should read it out. He says a belief in and worship of a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal god or gods. See what he now says? He says it's a particular system of faith and worship. See what he now says? He says it's a pursuit or interest followed with great devotion. That means devotion will become your way of life. Is that not religion? So we talk about the believer's walk. Is it, you know, Pastor, you are just so, you want us to be very religious. Let me tell you something. The Christian faith is a faith of bondage. You're shocked. Someone say, go and tap Pastor. Are you sure everything is okay with you? The one that taught us that this thing is a freedom speech. Oh, Christianity, rather, is a faith of bondage. What does that mean? Whilst you are called into freedom, there is something that regulates your freedom. Is that not bondage? Galatians 5:13. We're coming back to Hebrews quickly. Are we together? Look at Galatians 5:13. See what it says. Look at verse 1. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the what? The yoke of bondage. 13 now says, for brethren, ye have been called unto what? Are you there? You have been called unto what? Liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What does that mean? It means that the liberty you've been called into is a bondage liberty. Are we together? One would have thought that when you come to church, we sing, I'm free indeed in Christ. I'm free indeed. Oh, I'm free. I'm a new creature, new creation. That's a call to live any kind of life you deem fit. No, it's a call to live a kind of life that can be termed as bondage. What is bondage? It says bondage is a state or the state of being a slave. So whilst you sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear, be careful what you are not a slave to. Because the Bible tells you, it says you've been called into liberty. But it says, don't use this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. If I say, you are free to go anywhere within this room, but don't go into that space, or don't go through that door. Is that not bondage? You are free to go anywhere inside this room. You are free to do anything you want to do in this room. but don't go past that door. Is that not bondage? Is that not what the Christian faith does? You are free, but there's a bondage. There's a limit. You see, the Christian faith is a faith that encourages people to come as they are, but not to remain as they were. The Christian faith is a call people to come as they are. Yes, come as you are. Jesus, by his blood, by his spirit, will wash you clean. But it's not a call to remain as you are. It's a call to come as you are, but not a call to remain as you are. Why? Because you are there ought to be physical change that will be seen by men in your Christian walk. There ought to be a separation from you and a kind of way of life. It's called the believer's walk. There ought to be that segregation, because you've been called out of darkness. You can't be doing things like the people of darkness. You've been called out. So when you see someone always saying, you know, I've come into the Christian faith, I'm saved and saved forever, but I want to remain the way I am. I want to do the same things I used to do. I want to maintain a kind of lifestyle not found in what you've been called into, is someone who needs to be exposed yet more and more to God's word. So the Christian faith, it calls you, yes, let everybody, if you like, be a drunkard, be a anything, come. God wants everybody to be saved. But not to come and be saved and remain in that lifestyle. It's a call to change. So you've been called into liberty. In that liberty, there is a bondage. That means the believer has certain walls he must not cross. The believer has certain lines she must not cross. The believer has certain lines they must not cross. What defines the line? What defines the line? What defines the cage? The love of God. So we said over the series that let love be your litmus test to answer those questions in your heart. Like we said, the usual question on the lips of believers, Pastor, is he wrong too? Pastor, is he wrong too? What if I and I don't? So, Jesus calls everybody to come as they are. But there is such a thing as being washed away from certain lifestyles. The only reason why you come to Jesus the way you are and want to remain the way you are is because you've not exposed your heart to God's word. Because it is God's word that washes you. Are we together? Are we together? You have been taught. You see, truth is whole. Are we together? When you are teaching the truth of God's word, there is such a thing as being whole. What does that mean? Your sins are forgiven forever in spite and despite. But there's a kind of lifestyle you must not live. What a lot of us in this generation want to hear now is, my sins are forgiven every day, every day. Yes, so that's beautiful. But if that was all the church needed to hear, Paul will not correct the Corinthians. Paul will not correct the Galatians. Paul will not write to Philemon and say, you owe me your life. Walk in love towards this boy who was once, or might have been seen as useless to you in time past. So the Christian faith, it calls everybody. God's hand is open to receive everybody. But when you are under God's watch, you expose yourself to God's word. Look at Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 12. So we are alive in the spirit. We are alive by the spirit. But there is such a thing as walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit requires your deliberate efforts. Some of us, when we say things like this, the only thing you want to hear is the pastor is preaching works. See, you would have heard me doggedly for years, if you've listened to me for a while, that a man cannot lose his salvation. Salvation is something that happens to you and gives you a new heart, which is God's spirit. You can't remove it. Your conduct might not meet up or align, but you cannot undo it. So we've taught you that one exhaustively. We've done hours upon hours, over 90 hours of teaching, that your sins are forgiven forever. We've taught it. But there is such a thing as walking in the Spirit since you are now alive in the Spirit. There's such a thing as restricting your conduct to be to have a lifestyle that flows from a place of love all through. Are we here? Look at Hebrews. Hebrews 12. We said it over and over that your conduct is not the seed for salvation. Are we together, right? Your conduct is not the seed for the tree of salvation. Your conduct is the fruit. We taught that yesterday, that God is the sower. Remember that? God is the sower that sows the seed of the word in the heart of man. Which is what you see as in the beginning, God created the what? The heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. What is light? God is sowing his seed of light into the hearts of men. So there was darkness on the face of the earth, means that what? There was darkness amongst men. So God called men out of darkness and gave them a life and brought them into light. He now says, you call the daylight, you call the night what? You call the night, you call darkness night. Are we together? So we have been called from darkness into light. We've been called from night into day. We're now in the day the Lord has made. We rejoice in that fact. You are saved forever. You know, you hear people say things like, when you sin or when you do something that is not right of a believer, you know, you are still in relationship with God, but you break fellowship. Have you heard that thing before? You know, your sin breaks fellowship between God. See, the fellowship you have with God, it is God that supplies it, not you. Are we together? We'll look at that in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is the one. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, that is the love of God. That is the fellowship of the Spirit. So what is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is what God gives. What did he give? The fellowship of the Spirit. So despite, in spite, no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens to you, you are forever saved because who initiated the fellowship was God. What you did and all you brought to the table was to believe. What now happens? God snatches you from sin and death and puts you into his light. You are there forever. Now, it is a there forever to have a kind of lifestyle, to have a kind of mindset. You are not a selfish believer. You are one who expresses love. You can't be in the Christian faith for 5 years and still be allowing people to pamper you. You cannot. It shows you are not growing. It shows you are not growing. If you still have to be told the same thing over and over, the same thing as taught from scriptures, right? Over and over, over and over, over and over. Why do we have ministry gifts? It says for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It says you've been called into liberty, whereby, or use not this liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love, do what? Serve one another. See what it says in Hebrews 12. Are you there? He says, you have forgotten the exhortation, verse 5, which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art what? Rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? He rebukes. Dear saints, you ought to be rebuked. Are we together? You ought to be corrected. There are certain things you will do that requires correction. How the correction comes might not be palatable. You know, an average man doesn't like to be corrected. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. An average human, especially in this generation, even from their young ages now, children, they don't like to be corrected. See, either as a pastor or you are one pastor in somebody, everybody needs to be corrected from time to time. He says, whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he received. He says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom his father does not chasten? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof are all our partakers, then ye are what? Bastards. And you are not sons. Furthermore, we have heard of fathers in the flesh. So he now speaks about how your father corrected you when you were growing up. Let me tell you there's something there, saints. You rarely see any of us that was here that when our parents corrected us, we're rejoicing. Are we together? But we're in that phase of our lives right now where a lot of us are grateful for those corrections. I can't imagine if my dad didn't correct me on some conversations. I remember, I was saying this last, you know, I remember There's a particular friend of mine in school, then in secondary school, who my dad, I don't know what he saw, but he kept correcting me about that brother. I didn't know what he saw, but I felt he was my very good friend. He kept saying, this person, you are not on the same line, you're not on the same lane. But me, how old was I? I was raising my shoulder. I can choose who wants to be my friend. I can decide to do what wants to be my friend. But today I'm grateful I didn't follow that path. The friend of ours who followed that path, both the path himself, that's the brother, the person that followed the path, till today, they've not finished university. It's over 15 years ago, my dad was running me, and I was in secondary school at that time. Till today. Maybe one day I'd have just reached the house and just say, Mommy, I'm not doing school again. People don't make it with school. Which school? Show me the school that Mark Zuckerberg be speaking English there. Which Mark Zuckerberg did not go to school? What school did he quit from? What school did he quit from? You think he's EXO? You think he's Abuad? Someone is quitting from Harvard. You went to National Poly here. And you are saying I want to be like Mark Zuckerberg. Not. That's not to say if you went to Poly, there's anything wrong. But I'm just saying for that kind of person that is talking like that, you are using Mark Zuckerberg that he quit from Harvard. You can't call three schools in this world and not mention Harvard. Dude, they will call 500 in Nigeria. Your school will not. You say, I want to be like. Imagine your parents did not correct you. My dad told me something. He said, the least he wants us to have as children is masters. I don't understand it. Today, everybody now that has undergrad, everybody is looking for masters. Either you want to master in something or something wants to master in you. Everybody is looking for one master or the other. Because we have turned masters to be the new undergrad now in Nigeria. But imagine years ago, dear saints, correction will not be something you ought to enjoy, but it's something you ought to endure. It's not something that we always come palatable, you know. And I like the way he just. There are some times we will get stern rebukes. Even Jesus rebuked his disciples sternly. Even Paul rebuked his disciples sternly. Imagine Jesus did not rebuke Peter. Imagine John Paul did not rebuke the Galatians. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you?" He says, he now goes two verses, three verses after. He says, "Are you so what? Are you so foolish?" Dear saints, you are not the one to determine how you'll be corrected. But correction strengthens the believer. Are you here? Correction strengthens the believer. Don't see correction as something that is looking down or someone is looking down on you. No! We've taught in church that there's a thing called judgment and condemnation. We are called to judge certain acts and characters. We are called to condemn certain acts and characters. But we don't condemn people because God doesn't condemn people. So, once you've heard all the finished works, all the finished everything, there is such a thing as God's word to rebuke you, to correct you, and to realign you. May I never get to a point where I cannot be corrected. May I never get to that point. That as your pastor, I'm doing something, and there's nobody who any of you as leaders can reach out to correct me. May I never get to that point. May I never get to that point. That there's no voice I can hold in high esteem to receive correction from. May I never get to that point. Because it's easy to think you've arrived. Nobody can correct you again. He says, who the Father loves, he corrects. How will God correct you? A lot of times, God will not correct you directly. Why? Because you will struggle with it in your mind. You can read the word of God and see correction and explain it away. This one that God said this one. I need to go and look for a Greek concordance. What is the Greek word Paul used there? You know, it might not be as strong as what it sounds like. But you need that correction that will come from the lips of your leader, from the lips of your pastor. There's such a thing called the believer's walk. Hallelujah. Say, correction doesn't belittle me. Say, correction doesn't belittle me. Say, correction is a blessing. Say, look at someone. Say, it's blessed to be corrected. Say, it's a blessing to be corrected. Hallelujah. So don't see correction as something making you feel less than. No, you are forever saved. We've taught you that over the years. You are saved forever. Nothing can pluck you from the hands of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing can separate you from the hands of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at how Paul teaches this in 1 Corinthians 3. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 first. 1 Corinthians 1. Are you there? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship. So what did God do? God called you into fellowship. You see that? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul first tells them this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 9 of chapter 2. It is written, I have not seen. Are you there? Nor he has heard. Neither has he entered into the heart of a man. Remember, this is not your car. This is not your job. Remember that? This is not your contract. Abby, you remember that, right? When you say, I had not seen. You know what God wants to give you before the end of this year? I had not seen. Or God is another man that he give you. The man is not blind. You get? So I had not seen is something we must read in context. He says, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Look at verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The Spirit said all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we receive. So that thing which they were talking about I had not seen, he said it is written. It's about the Spirit of God. He now goes to chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. He says, and I, brethren. So he first used the first two chapters to explain to them how they have fellowship, how they've received the Spirit and all of that. He now goes to chapter 2. He says, and I, brethren. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. But as unto what? Carnal. As unto babes in Christ. Dear saints, there will always be babes in Christ. Are we here? Now, the babes in Christ is not regarding the baby spirit you have received. Are we together? But a response, and it will be found in a response or as a response to what is presented. So when you see Paul now says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. He's not saying in Bible study there are sometimes you teach with milk. Are you here? Are you there? He's not saying that Paul now taught with milk. Sometimes he did not teach with meat. For hitherto, ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. So what is the milk and the meat? Or how is the milk and meat distinguished? By their what? By how they receive. By their reception. Are we together? God's word in itself can be milk, can be meat. It's not that when you are just in Christian faith, you know, that there is any stage, you say, now I've been a Christian for 20 years. I've left the milk of the word. I'm now feasting on meat. And the meat I'm feasting on has bone. You know, I've left milk. Milk. Leave milk for Joshua. You know, there's some things that you need to learn before Genesis chapter 1. Let me tell you what happened in Genesis chapter 1. You see, God before the beginning, he has started entering meat, and this one is bush meat. I'm telling you, this one is bush meat. Somebody sang one day, bush meat will catch the hunter. That bush meat you are looking for will catch you. The same message you listen to be saved is what you need to listen to grow. So when he says milk and meat, he's not saying, you know, for Corinthians, they were not mature enough and now gave them milk. When I went to Ephesus, man, you know, I don't speak to you all in English again because you see, the day I switched to Greek alone, I'm talking to men who receive meats. But you are still hearing me speak English, I'm bringing the milk of God. No, he's talking about their reception to the same truth. Are we together? So he now says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy. So a believer can behave as a carnal person. But a believer's spirit is never carnal. Are you there? So what is how do you see the carnality? He says there is envy, there is strife, there is division. So the division, the envy, the strife, they are what you will call or term as carnal. He now says, and ye walk as men. So some of them were saying, I'm of Paul. The other was saying, I'm of Apollos. Is that not carnality? That's what he's addressing. That's what he's addressing. So Paul now begins to supply correction to 1 Corinthians or the Corinthian church, but he first establishes the fact that they are born of God. They have the fellowship of the Spirit. They receive the Spirit of God. You know, they are saved. They are saved forever. Then he now goes to chapter 6. Look at chapter 6, verse 9. Are you there? He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But he says, "And such were some of you." So it means that Paul did not address the believer as a fornicator, but there were believers that were fornicating. Are you here? Paul did not address the believers in Corinth based on their actions. How do you know when the believers fornicating? Look at verse 5, chapter 5. Look at, you're in chapter 6, right? Look at chapter 5. He says, "It is reported commonly," verse 1, "that there is fornication amongst you." Amongst you, is there no believers? So were there believers that were saved that were committing fornication? Yes. Did Paul address it? Yes. So he not say, "Oh, you need to hear forgiveness, 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 forgiveness." He says, "Such were some of you. You were a fornicator. Now you've come into God's Spirit. You've been washed by His Spirit. You expose your heart yet more to God's word, and that will reflect in your conduct." Not, "You were a thief. You now came to Jesus. You now say you're a thief for Christ." You are a thief in Christ. All together. In Christ for Christ. You are a thief for Christ. No, he says, "Such were some of you." The believer is not identified based on his actions. The believer is identified based on the action of God. So that one more time. The believer is not identified based on his or her actions, but the believer is identified based on the action of the resurrection through Christ Jesus. So he says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication amongst you." See what he now says. He now says, "This such fornication, as it is not even so much named among the Gentiles. Yet," he says, "such were some of you." Hallelujah. Such were some of you. Now go back to chapter 6. He says what? Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. He says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." Hallelujah. "Ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God." Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 12. He now says, "All things are what? Lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." That means all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He says, "Meat for the belly and belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God had both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Hallelujah. "Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said he shall become one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what?" What did he now say in verse 18? Did he say continue in this knowledge and this exegesis? What did he say? Flee fornication. Flee, flee, flee fornication. Flee. Are you saying Paul was condemning them? He's talking to a church where he's not assuming they are fornicating. No. Is Paul assuming? He said it is commonly reported that there is fornication. He's not assuming that there's fornication. That I feel like there's no church. No, he's not assuming. He's saying that I know. He says, "He that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. Therefore, flee." There's an action you ought to do. You flee. It's a call to the believer, for the believer in his walk. You see, God's word remains God's word every time of the year, every time of life. It's God's word. He says, "No, you know, your bodies are members of Christ." He says, "All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are what? Expedient." So it means that in the Christian faith, there are certain things you will stay away from. if you are serious about your spiritual growth. I'll say that one more time. There are certain things you will stay away from if you are serious about your spiritual growth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. There are certain things you will stay away from. You will not do because of if you are serious about your spiritual growth. It says you've been called into liberty. Don't use liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Are you there, saints? God's love is overwhelming. Yes, we know that. But God's love comes with correction. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Are you there? 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Are you there? Please, let's read 6 together, verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Look at verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part had he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement, verse 16, 1, 2, 3, go. What agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, come out from amongst them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What is he saying? When you have been separated, there's a lifestyle expected from you. So you are not unequally yoked with certain lifestyles. You know, in our generation right now, unfortunately, we have a lot of ladies and a lot of men who are looking for strange people. Are we together? You see a brother, he's looking for a Cardi B. He's looking for a Beyonce. Right? He's looking for a Rihanna with a little touch of Mommy Gio. A lot of brothers as well, a lot of sisters as well. They're looking for Daddy Gio with a sprinkle of what? Whiskey. A sprinkle of Davido. Or who? What is it? What is the truth? He says, do not be unequally yoked. See, there should be a difference between you and an unbeliever. Does God need to see anything to know the difference? The only thing he needs to see is the spirit he has put in you now. Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. Paul says, he says, do not be unequally yoked. In fact, you even have some believers today that the only person they see to marry is Shango worshiper. Is someone that is a Muslim. You see, I just like his personality. They are doing you. No, his personality is just great. He's great. He's kind. He's loving. You know, all the Christian brothers, let me tell you something. You are better marry a Christian brother that is learning God's word. Because one day, most often than not, when you see them eventually, years after, they start tying hijab. Because there is the male dominancy that comes with the culture of the country you are in, for instance. One day, the man will wake up and say, where are you going to? You say, you know, Pastor, you see, we are sent into the world. We are sent into the world, you know. I want to bring him into God's vineyard. Bragging, say more grace. We are going to pray for them, say more grace. You know, want to... He said, more grace. You really need grace. He said, want to bring. He said, have more grace. Yes, now. It's more grace. We're praying for you. We're praying for you. You need more grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know some of you are waiting for me to finish my teaching. Pastor, is it wrong to go to nightclub? Go and sleep there. If I take your bed. Take your bed. And when you are leaving, take your tracts. I'll be sharing God's palace tract. You are going for evangelism. You know, Pastor, I don't dance with anybody in the nightclub. I just go there and just shake my body. You know, what happened to gym? Every gym I know now, they used to put music now. Pastor, you know, Pastor, see, You see, the truth is, Pastor, how are we going to reach them if we are not with them? He says, you cannot be unequally yoked with the unbelievers. Pastor, you know, we just gather at one beer parlor. You know, they, all of them drink good alcohol, but me, I ask them to pour more to my cup. The rules. I just pop up, Pastor. And some of you will say, ah, when the pastor becomes so legalistic, I'm legalistic. Yes, so I hope you know, I'm a legalistic grace preacher. Either legalism, either grace, I'm none of them. I preach Christ. Pastor, you know, it's just that, you know, but we just, my friends are having a hangout. He says, what concord does Christ have with Belial? What is the link between the righteous of God and the unrighteous? What does that really mean? We'll get there. It means that even if some things in themselves are not entirely wrong in themselves, you will stay away from them because you are a righteous man. That's what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 8, which we ended on Sunday, on Wednesday with. There are some songs you don't listen to, except you are not serious with your spiritual growth. There are some songs you don't play. Some of you, if they check your list of songs you play now, before they say, I'm a man of joy, you would have played over 100, top 100. You have played them. The I'm a man of joy just comes in at the middle. Ajasa, just the little add up. Abalis in me. I'm a man of the spirit. Same thing. Sungba. For man of joy. Straight. There's something wrong somewhere. The call to live a freedom life is a call to bondage. If you are, except you are not serious with spiritual growth, there are some songs you cannot play, either in private or in open. You see, you know, songs is one of the fastest ways to learn any doctrine, either doctrine of Christ or doctrine of the world. Spotify will finish the end of the year and show you the highlight of the songs you played the most. Before they count a Christian song, you've counted 20 worldly songs. This is not to say there are no songs that are not Christian that you cannot listen to. There are love songs that are sin, because the word brings it to me. Except I don't have data. So the word already brings to me, and me, and I'll deliberately go to the word. What happens? One day they will say, lift up your holy hands. Or one day you call for believers, but you say, let's edify in Psalms. And before you know it, you are using Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I know a lot of us believers do that. Or choir practice on Sunday. What they do every Sunday, every Saturday choir practice, they take the song of the word, play the intro, and change the lyrics. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Everybody still follow. Jesus, oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. There is such a thing called the believer's walk, where you separate a believer from the things of this world. Praise God. Someone should be able to see you. Someone should be able to check your YouTube channel. Or someone should be able to check your Instagram page or your TikTok account and see sanity. Have any account you want to have. If you like, go and open WeChat. Go and open Telegram, go and open Wii, the one in China, the one only China people use. Go and open it. But let somebody be able to see you and distinguish, oh, this is a believer. Why? He says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. So if you are serious about your spiritual growth, there are certain songs you don't listen to. There are certain movies you don't watch. There are certain places you don't visit. Have I answered those questions? Yeah? There are certain places you don't visit. There are certain things you don't watch. Certain movies you don't watch. There's certain things you don't do. There's certain things you don't say. Look at it again. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That means that will involve both their conduct and them as a person. This is not saying that when you're at work, anybody that's not a Christian, you just stay with. No. It's not saying don't greet unbelievers. That's not what he's saying. It not say don't attend the meetings of unbelievers. I hope you know that. It's not saying, because you will check through scripture again, you're going to say, if an unbeliever beats you for a party. It's not in the Bible. Eh? If you are free, what do you say? Go now. But there's a way you, there's some people who are inviting me for certain things, and because of the technical background behind the relationship I have with them, what I do to honor them is to go there and appear and get out of the place. Just to go there and appear and get out of the place. Wish them well. In fact, I had a wedding recently. I think early May or thereabout. I made sure I went to look for him in the church, because they were doing wedding in church, and now go and do reception at that place. That's an avenue for me to catch up with a lot of my friends from school and all of those things. But I had my IV, whatever. I ran to the church. Oh, let's be here in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's hear it together. When you finish, I greet you. I wish you a blissful marriage. What happened? I go back home. Because we're surrounded. Before, see, we are product of influence. We are products of influence. There are lots of these things we can do, we can say. You ask yourself, how did I know? Sometimes I come and say, like, how did I know this? How did I learn this? You don't need to go and look for the lyrics to learn them before you know the lyrics. You hear the first 10 minutes, 10 seconds in one person's video. You now say, I will link to another person's video. You've mastered this one, before you know 20 seconds. Before you know it, I know a lot of times we don't even pay attention to the lyrics. Sometimes we are innocent. We pay attention because we love the beat. Are you here? We love the beat. The beat just looks sweet, but we don't pay attention to what he said. You see, that is why a lot of people believe that what we are teaching as eternal salvation is to fight the people who were teaching holiness message before. No. What they were teaching has correct things from the Bible, but they were extreme. Some of us believe, I'm coming from a church where everything holiness preacher, everything holy, 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 holy. Now that they've told me my sins are forgiven, I am free. I am free. I am free. No, there is the holiness teaching. There is the message of forgiveness of sins. Every believer ought to hear both of them equally. So some of what we do now, we now twist towards forgiveness of sins. See, the grace of God corrects. The grace of God scores. The grace of God causes a place where you repent. Altogether. Where you adjust your thinking. There's a place of repentance, dear saints. Your repentance is not for God. It's for your conscience, your heart. Praise God. So, there are words you don't use. Are we here? You know, it's interesting to see believers who are very comfortable using swear words. With their full chest. There are believers who are comfortable insulting people with their full chest. What were you taught, or what were you listening to? There's such a thing called spiritual decency. There's such a thing called spiritual common sense. All together. You know, there's no portion of the Bible that will tell you, saints, don't sing foul songs. Don't use foul words. I've told you before, Bible will not tell you, don't allow your skirts to reach here. Don't allow your shirts to reach here. No, Bible will not tell you all of those things. But there are confined restrictions. Rather, there is such a thing as the bondage line for the believer. Are we together? So there are things that in Christian faith that we ought to address properly. You know how people say it? They say it's from club people enter what? It's from club people used to enter dance. Are we together? You are in a quiet place. You say people should not make noise. Or somebody is just clapping small, small. Gradually, the thing will enter inside the person. The person will let loose. And start dancing, and start singing, and start clapping. Why did it get to that point? You tolerated the small, small. Dear saints, the believer's walk is a call that requires your deliberate attention. Are you here? I said something else on Wednesday. I said this way. Okay, so I said there are things that Paul will address based on conduct, but what he's addressing is peculiar to his time. Paul will not tell you don't open your clothes as a girl in his time because he didn't have that challenge. But Paul will tell you flee fornication because he had that challenge. So what we will do as believers is to pick Paul's letter as a litmus test to view any conversation in this day and time. Are we here? Are we here? There are things you don't support. There are things you don't approve. There are things you don't approve. There are things you don't support. If you don't stand for it, don't stand for it. Don't stand for it for other people, but not for yourself. No, don't stand for it. You know, I've told you before, there are some things you will repost for your friends you ought not to repost. How do you say it? They say support your own. Abizana, they say support your own now. Anything your friend is selling because you want them to support your own too, you support their anything. No, now. You are in bondage. A true bondage. Solid bondage of love. There are some posts you don't like. There are some posts you don't reshare. There are some posts that are meant for you to watch and get away from it and live there. Are we together? There are some things you stay away from. You ought to stay away from. This Presbyterian church is very quiet this morning. I hope I'm touching your hearts. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Paul will say, let love rule. Listen to this statement I made here. Or let's go to 1 Corinthians 8 first before I make these statements. Please, I beg you, listen to what I'm about to teach again. I taught this on Wednesday. I'm going to call a sister out and a brother out to explain what I explained again. Like on Wednesday. Who did I use on Wednesday? It was you, right? Yes, it was you. When I was explaining 1 Corinthians 8, things offered to idols. Was it you? Was it her? Well, it was you and her, right? When I was teaching about, look at 1 Corinthians 12 now, when it says, if my brother were a friend, I'll stay away from it. It was you, right? Sister Prosperous, come quickly. Brother Moses, come quickly. So I want to use both of them to teach 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So stand here. But Moses, please stand here. So are you in your Bibles? So we read our Bibles and I will explain what scriptures are saying. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Now look at me. This is Paul. Right? This is Corinthians. Only you is Corinth. So this is Paul, this is the Corinthians. Or let's say she's representing the Corinthians. Now say, now, I'm talking to her. Look at me. I'm talking to her. Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. He says, knowledge profit or but charity edifieth. See verse 2. If any man should think that he knoweth anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man should love God, the same is known of him. He now says, as concerning therefore the eating. So look at me now. I look at her, Corinth, and I say, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, Sister Prosperous. We know, that is two of us, right? That an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is no other God but one. This Paul to Corinth. For though there be that are called gods, or there be many that are called gods, whether in heavens or earth, there be gods many and lords many, but to us, right, Paul and Corinth, there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. See what I say now, verse 7, how be ye, Sister Prosperous, there is not in every man this knowledge. For some, listen to me now, look at this, for some, are you here, you get that? For some, with the conscience of idols, unto this very hour, they eat it as things offered unto idols. And their conscience being weak is what? Defiled. And I'll go back to the Prosperous. See what I say now. I'll say, but sister, meat commended us not to God. For neither if we eat, are we better. Neither if we eat not, are we worse. But take heed, sister, lest by any means this liberty of yours become A what? A stumbling block to him that is what? Weak. Are you here? He now says, for if any man sees thee, that is, if Bram Moses sees you, and he doesn't or he sees thee, which had knowledge, that she has knowledge to sit at meat in the idol's temple. That means Sister Prosperous has gone to sit down in the idol's temple. Why? Because she has knowledge that there's no other God in this earth but the God of the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Are we together? So if any man should see you in the idol's temple, shall not his conscience, which is weak, be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols because Sister Prosperity is in the temple and she's eating it? Are you getting it? He now says, and through thy knowledge, is that Sister Prosperous? So he now says, through your knowledge, you have made a weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But where you sin against brother Moses, what did he call sin? So it means your knowledge can actually make people to sin. Are we here? Why is it called sin? Because of her knowledge and an action that came from her knowledge. What is her knowledge about? We know there's only one God in this universe. Oh, you know there's only one God that can go anywhere, stay anywhere. Paul did not, I don't think Paul had issue of nightclub. So that thing you call temple in 1 Corinthians 8, you replace with it every question you have in your heart. Are you here? So what Paul will call idol's temple, let's replace it with nightclub. Sister Prosperous knows that she can go to nightclub and be confessing blood of Jesus under her lips and be speaking in tongues. What happened? She now go to nightclub and now start drinking any and start misbehaving. And there's a brother Moses who will only do that but is a weak conscience. What happens? He will now begin to do nightclub parole because of Sister Corinth. Are you here? He says, when you sin against your brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against who? Check your Bible. You sin against who? Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. When ye sin so against the brethren and wound their conscience, ye sin against Christ. Let's read verse 13. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to be offended, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make. What is Paul saying? Sister Prosperous, if you know that meat can make this guy to be defiled, what will you do? I will not eat meat as long as the world standeth. Why? Because of your love work towards him. Why? There will always be big Christians. Based on spirit or based on conduct or reception? Baby spirit, baby believer. Is it based on baby spirit? Baby believer. Is it based on the baby spirit or reception as a baby? So he's a believer, for instance, but he's still a baby. Are we together? And his sister Prosperous, every Friday, she has a meeting, one night with the king. And the night with the king is a cubana. Do you know what cubana is? No. She will not answer because she will not want to make her brother to sing. She doesn't know where cubana is. So she cannot know. It's just one place along Gusé, but don't look for it. So Sister Prosperous, what did Paul say? He says, Sister Prosperous, this is sound doctrine. If you know that one person will be defiled because of your action, you stay away from it. You know, some of us like to feel ourselves too much, and we think we are very strong and we cannot be influenced. Even me. There are some associations of pastors, if I stay with, my message will change. So you cannot keep certain kinds of friends and say you know what you are doing. I want to win them. I'm always winning them. Every time I'm always winning them. They will win you. It becomes worse when you don't even have a strong personality. You will stay away from certain friendships till you mature. Some things you believe today will not become your convictions in the next 10 years. I hope you know that. Some things you believe today, some things I believe today might be adjusted in the next 10 years. So, until you get to a level of strong conviction, what did Paul say to Sister Prosperous? My dear believers that are sisters, or my dear sisters that are believers, not every tailor is your tailor. Not every style is your style. Dear saints, you can go for an Oscar award well covered, and you you are very beautiful. I told you, I lie not. Let me go to the altar. I lie not. I was ministering here one day, and I saw a brother. That's where he sat. But it's not the brother. And I just realized he was always standing up, and was always looking down. It dawned on me a fellow sister was here who was shouting hallelujah. And he was lost. You know what happens to that kind of brother? But somebody else somewhere might suffer for it. Why? Because the desire has been built up and he wants to what? Pour it. Watch my treasures go. Are we here? Please go to your seat. Go to your seat, brother. I just taught you that there are some things that will not be entirely wrong, but you can stay away from them. Wait, eating meat offered to idol, is it a sin? It's only a sin to the degree in which someone falls short or is defiled because of what you did. All together. That's the verse a lot of us used to not eat salami now. I didn't taste salami in my life until last year. Because I grew up seeing it as a sin. But you know, when they tell you salami, it comes with a taste. Hallelujah. It comes with a unique taste. When they tell you it is salami. No. I mean, the idol has unique mamagi. But it comes with a taste. But it comes with a unique taste. When they fry the ram for you. I said, is it what I've missed all my life? And I was thinking, all my life you have been faithful. But I don't know all my life. I've missed something as sweet as that. It's sweeter. You know, sometimes you just want to wish for Salah. Somebody says, thank God we still have Muslims in Nigeria. They cannot win all the Muslims. He said, we cannot win all the Muslims to Christian faith. Though. Two reasons. Salah meat and holiday. Yes, we will keep doing our work, keep doing everything, but let that one person just remain there as an imam and be supplying. Let that one family remain and be supplying meat and holiday. I hope you know I'm joking. Yeah. So we have work. But once we have work, so think about it now. The only holiday you would have had in this country is June 12th and October 1. You don't go to work in Christmas. Easter. Okay, maybe Easter. Thank God Jesus died in April. So, the love of God is the basis for any action you take. Are we together? The love of God is your litmus paper. Now, listen to this quote I want to show you. Now, there's a man called Dr. Fred Price. This is what he had to say about believers' conduct. Do you know Fred Price? Yes, Fred Price Senior, Fred Price Junior. Look at what he said. Is it wrong or right? ? When such questions come up frequently, you can totally avoid those things for the love of God. Did you get that? Say that again. Is it wrong? Is it right? ? When those questions come up frequently, you can totally avoid it for the love of God. You can totally avoid that action for the love of God. That means there are more things you ought to avoid as a believer because of the love of God. Is it wrong? Is it right? When such questions come up frequently, you can totally stay away because of the love of God. Look at this. Brother Kenneth Hagin said something. He said, always ask yourself in any situation you find yourself, what will the love of God do? What will the love of God do? What will the love of God do? When you see a style, when you see a meeting, when you see a party, when you see a this, when you see a that, what? So it means that if Jesus can be found, did Jesus go for a worldly party? John 3 now, he turned water to wine, even the miracle. So the question is, when you go and you find yourself for any reason in such an atmosphere, you are not of that world. Your conduct must be different and unique. It's not to say don't have parties, don't go for a wedding, don't do all of those things. but no, you are not of them. See, let people tell you you are holy, holy. Let people say your own is too much. It's better. As long as it's too much for God. Are we here? Pastor Shola Oladele said something. He said, you can sacrifice certain things, certain pleasurable actions, in order to win men to Christ. I'll say that again. You can sacrifice certain actions, certain things, certain pleasurable actions or things in order to win men to Christ. You can sacrifice certain things that are pleasurable. It's pleasurable. Who doesn't want to wear what he wants to wear? Who doesn't want to wear what she wants to wear? Who doesn't want to look trendy, so to say? But there's an extent of trendiness. Altogether, there's an extent of trendiness. Praise God. This is very important. And this was said by Pastor W.F. Kumuyi. Are you here? He said, I'll read it, then I'll quote it again for you. So I want everybody to listen to me before you start writing. So I'm going to read it, then I'll quote it again for you to write. He said, you stay off certain things, certain actions that might be right in your conscience, but will affect the faith of others because of your consecration. Let me read it again. So he's saying, because of your consecration, you will have to stay off certain things that might be right in your conscience, but will affect others' faith. He said this. He said, your consecration is not about you, but about the Lord and others. Did you get that? Your consecration is not about you, but about the Lord and others. When you see somebody wants to do anything, he wants to do anything she wants to do. It's me. You know, I don't want to be in bondage. The Christian faith is a call to bondage. What we teach a lot of times is what we call selfish love. And you see, the world propagates it the most. Everything is about me. Me. I feel this way. I feel me. If Jesus was about me, you would still be in your sins today. He will not die. The death of Jesus is an expression of a selfless love. You know, Jesus had nothing to gain. You know, Jesus had nothing to gain in the death and the resurrection for himself, apart from the fact that you had something to gain. The gain of Jesus was only your gain. Are we here? He was not less God or better God in the resurrection. He was the God that he was before the crucifixion. He didn't say, I need to die so that when I now rise up, I will become a better God. No, he has been God all by himself. So we had everything to gain because of his selflessness. You can't be a believer and be selfish. You can't be a believer and be selfish. Everything, me. I think I look good in this. I think I am everything, me. I think I can go here. It is about me. It's about how, Pastor, you don't know how I feel. You know, I just feel like when I go to work Monday to Friday, Friday evening, I don't want to step down. It's not about you. Your consecration is about the Lord and others. Now, I give you an example, right? Peter will say, let your elders, your pastors, lead in example. Are we together? You know, if we were to come to God's palace, and let's say, for instance, you came from my house, you came for birthday, and you see me doing certain things, right? Or maybe you come to my house and you see me, you know, just stepping down on one bottle of beer. I don't need to tell you to go and buy a carton in your house. You will buy and be supplying me. And you know, some of you, you will not be buying it for me. Why should you buy your own? You buy three for you, buy one for me. So that in giving me, you validate yourself why you should take it. Are you with me? You can stay without it and be alive. So I just told you that to know. You can stay away from this. And nothing will happen. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't change anything. You see, some of us believe that we've been so. And that is why Paul would say, I will not allow any of this to have me. Some of you are in bondage to some of these things. And some of you, some believers cannot be normal except they no, dear saints. Let God's word lead your heart. Hallelujah. Let God's word lead your heart. So I'm going to quote what I just said right now again so you can write. I quoted it right, you understood, right? But I'll just quote it again so I can write. It says, just because of your consecration, you will have to stay off certain things that might be right in your conscience. Just because of your consecration, you would have to stay off certain things that might be right in your conscience, but will affect others' faith. Let me stay off things that will affect. So it is first others' faith before your conscience. Because people's conscience are different. People's conscience draw lines at different places. But it's not about your conscience. It's about the faith of others. He now says, your consecration is not about you, but the Lord and others. Did you get that? Let me close in the conversation in James 5. Let me just touch on, you know, an aspect of the love walk which we've been talking about as usual. James 5, 16. Hallelujah. So, you are holy to live a holy life. What is holy? Holy there doesn't mean white without stain. Holy just means set apart. Are we together? Holy just means set apart. You know, I've come to a point in my life where everything I do, whilst I think of how it will affect me to a large extent, I first place priority on what this will do to other people. It's something I'm growing in and learning on the day, over the days and unlearning. Because it's easy for you to just assume that everything, you do anything, everyhow, anyhow, as long as you are happy. No. There are certain things you stay away from just as an act of consecration to your Lord and Savior, by extension to other people who will see you. Certain things you will do, certain things you will not do, just because of your consecration to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the fellow folks around you. Look at James 5. James 5. I hope you're learning something. So, we are called to love God. We are called to love His word. We are called to love prayer. We are called to love giving. We are called to love conduct. We are called to love walk. It's a call to act on God's word. Don't let God's word speak to you and you still want to be yourself. You see, there are a lot of things I'm saying today I need to keep saying over and over and over again, because the mind of man has a tendency to overlook certain fundamental conversations. That is why you see Paul, and you see Hebrews, writer of Hebrews, tell you, he says, we ought to give ourselves yet more and more to these things. Lest they what? Sleep. Lest they sleep. So we need to keep listening. I will admonish you all as saints. Take out the month of July on a personal study and listen to believers' conduct from beginning to end. They add God's new creation. All together. You know, I told you something. I did that series particularly side by side because of what I was teaching. Right? We've taught you are God's new creation. You are forever saved. Nothing can take you from God's hand. You are saved. You are an osas. Once saved, always saved. You cannot be unsaved. Nevertheless, there is that call to a kind of life. See what Paul says. James says, look at James. Are you there? What chapter did I say you should go to? Lovely. James 5, right? Did I give you a verse? What am I tempted to look at the book of James 3? Look at James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That's what he's trying to say. Your mouth can determine the direction of your body. Are you here? He now says, behold, also the sheep, which though they be so big or great, they are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeneth. He says, even so the tongue is a little member. So the tongue is a little member of your body, but and boasted greater things, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. What is he saying? Your words can what? Add pepper to fire, or add firewood to already burning fire. What's the right word? I said, and the tongue is a fire. Is your tongue fire? Is your tongue fire? Yes and no. Figure of speech, right? A word of iniquity, so is the tongue amongst our members, that it defiled the whole body. You know, there are some of you, you've put yourself in trouble because of what you said. Are we here? And set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and had been tamed of mankind. Look at verse 8. But a tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly what? Poison. Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded what? And cursing. What did he say about it? Brethren, these things ought not to be so. That means from you can't use the same mouth to bless and the same mouth to curse. Are we together? Look at this in verse 11. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter water? Answer now. Can a fountain bring forth sweet and bitter water together? You taste it the first time, it's sweet. Taste it the second time, it's bitter. Can it do that? You know, it says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? What is he saying? Can mango tree produce orange? Look at that, what he's saying now. He says, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. Is that not true? Look at verse 13, everybody together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who is a wise man and endure with knowledge amongst you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So it means we know a lot of how well you've grown by what comes out from you. Which is why Jesus was saying in Mark 7. He says, what goes into a man doesn't defile a man. But what? What comes out from the man. So it means that Adam did not eat any apple. Are we together? That defiled him. Neither did Adam eat any fruit that defiled him. Because what defiles a man is based on what? What comes out or an action. Did you get that? I mean, is that not what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8? When he says, based on an action of a brother, he is defiled. You get that? He now says, but if, verse 14, ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. So I want to explain ye ask amiss now. Are you here? So ye ask amiss in chapter 4, verse 1 is not for prayer. He says, ye ask amiss and receive not because ye ask amiss now. So what is he saying? He says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He says, this wisdom descended not from above, but is what? Earthly. So envy, strife is earthly. It is sensual. It is what? Devilish. So what did James now ask? So for where envy and strife is, there is what? Confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is far above or from above is first what? Pure. Then what? Then gentle and easy to be what? That means you must be someone that is easy to be entreated. You must be someone who is looking for peace always. Someone who is pure, gentle, full of mercy. Is that your Bible? And of what? Good fruits. Without what? Partiality. And without what? Hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that what? Make me. So he now says in verse 4, from whence comes what? Wars and fightings. So he's asking, a fountain shouldn't bring sweet and bitter. So if you are a fountain, you can't bring peace and war. Are you here? That's why he's asking in chapter 4, verse 1. So where is war and fightings coming from? A fountain ought to bring good words, not evil words. A fountain, a fig tree will not bring berries. Mango tree will not bring orange. So he's looking at you as a mango tree and saying, where is orange coming from? What did he call orange? He's calling it what? Wars and fighting. He says, come then not hence. They come from your lust that was in your member. So he now says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot what? Obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Why did he now say, ye ask and receive not, because ye what? That ye may what? So what is he trying to say? He's saying you as a mango tree, you are asking for orange. Ye ask for orange and you receive not. Are we together? Because in the real sense, you are asking for orange as a mango tree to consume upon your lust. So when he says, ye ask amiss, or ye ask and receive not, because what is he saying? He's saying that those evil strives and wars and fighting, they are not from the Spirit of God. Are we together? That's why he now tells you, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of this world is what? enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of this world is not what? Is the what? Is that based on conduct? Is that based on conduct? That means based on association, based on unevenly yoked. Are we together? But not based on your spiritual eternal reality, right? Praise God. Now look at chapter 5. We just went all of that. So verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. He now says, confess your faults one to another. You see, the word there, confess, is not the same word as used in 1 John 1:9. When it says, confess, if we confess our sins, he's able and just to forgive us. We've explained that word there to mean what? Homologio. That is, say the same thing or have the same thoughts about what God says regarding sin. But this word here is exomologio. Are we together? And it's a word that actually means to say a thought or to say the same thing loud for someone to hear. Are you here? Are you here? This one involves you saying it loud for someone to hear. Are we together? So when I say, when he says confess your fault one to another, what is he saying? If Sister Esther offends me and I offend Sister Esther, I should confess, ex homologio, say it loud for Sister Esther to hear. What did he now say? He says, pray one for another that he might be healed. So what kind of healing is he talking about? Forgiveness. We've taught that, right? So he's not saying that if Sister Esther offends me and I offend Sister Esther, and maybe I'm not feeling fine now, so that I can be healed from headache, Sister Esther should now come and confess her fault to me. No. So he uses healing for strained relationships. So he says, if I have a fight with Sister Esther, I owe it to you to come and meet you and say, see, sister, I did this. So you, and you owe it to me to open your ears to listen. So that what happens? We are healed. What is healed? Our strained relationship. That's why he now tells you. He now says, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth what? Much. I go further talk about prayer and all of that and all of that. So confession of your faults. So the Bible teaches confession of faults. Are we together? Does the Bible teach confession of sins? Does Bible teach confession of sin? Yes and no. Confession of sin to the person you've who offended. Are we together? Confession of sins to God? No. Confession of sins between what? So what now happens when I confess my faults to you? Our relationship. You know, sometimes we can have issues and we have rough patches. And anytime I come to you and I say, Brother Sam is sitting here, what do? I go to the other side to go and sit down. Once church finished, what happened? I use that door and go out. What is expected for me as a believer? Come together and we confess. Say, Brother Sam, this is what you did I don't like. Please tell me what I did that you don't like. Let's adjust. Let's talk. You can't be keeping it. That's why I told you, where is envy coming from? Where is strife coming from? You can't say you are a fountain of sweet water and be bringing what? Bitter water. You can't say you are a fountain of salt water and be bringing fresh water. No, salt and fresh don't come from the same fountain. Why? Salt and fresh don't come from the same spirit. That is, love and hatred don't come from the same spirit. Peace and war don't come from the same spirit. So you can't say you are a man of peace and be shouting a man of war. All together. Man of war is you are that one, you have received and you asked and you received. It's not that you received not, you asked and you received it. But when it comes to the Spirit of God, what comes from there? Peace. It says you are easily intreatable. Is that not in James 4? James 3 rather. It says you are full of peace, you are pure, you are loving, you forgive easily. Hallelujah. So when it comes to faults, what happens? You confess with another. Just bow your heads and pray.